What a blessing to have the opportunity to read God's Word together. Amen. Right out in the open. We live in a country that allows us to do that. Let's make the most of it. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to make the most of these times that we get together as we study your Word, recognizing that every word is important, every passage is important. Lord, you are the strong foundation of our life. You're the rock. And Lord, if we could just keep our eyes on you, help us to do that. Lord, it's so easy to get distracted, to buy into lies. Lord, keep us focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, King Solomon gives this very strong admonition to his son. He says this, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding." I love that. Son, wise up. Get smart. Get wisdom. You need it. And actually, that's an admonition for all of us. We all need to be wise. We all need wisdom. But question this morning, what kind of wisdom? What kind of wisdom? Our passage this morning informs us that there are two kinds of wisdom. There's a really good kind of wisdom that leads to really good things in your life. That's the wisdom that you want. And then there's a really bad kind of wisdom that brings terrible things to life, and that's the wisdom that you don't want. In fact, it's not wisdom at all. It's really folly disguised as wisdom. Let's read through our text this morning. You'll see these two kinds of wisdom. They pop out at you. You can't miss them. Verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from where? Above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Notice that James begins this passage with a question. His question is, who among you is wise and understanding? And the gist of what he's saying is this: who among you is truly wise and truly understanding? Who among you has this good kind of wisdom? And by asking that question, he's implying that there were some Christians in that local church that had good wisdom, and there were other Christians in that local church that had the wrong kind of wisdom. And so right here at the beginning, before we go through this text, let's ask ourselves that question as we go through our text. What kind of wisdom do we have? Evaluate your life. Do you have the good wisdom? Or have you bought into the bad wisdom? Search your hearts as you go through it. Notice that James is not speaking about intellectual knowledge in this passage. He's speaking about wisdom. Wisdom is more than intellectual knowledge. So he's not speaking about being a straight-A student. He's not speaking about being the valedictorian. He's not speaking about having a bunch of facts in your brain. True wisdom does include knowledge, but it doesn't stop there. True wisdom is knowledge applied to the intricacies of daily living. James says the person who is truly wise will show it in the way that they live day by day. In fact, in verse 13, look what he says. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. A person who has true wisdom lives a good life. True wisdom produces good conduct. Literally, what he's saying is, the person who is truly wise lives this good, beautiful, noble life. The person who is truly wise has a life that's filled with good works that are performed in humility and meekness. So it's much more than what you know. It's how you apply what you know to the way you live your life day by day, consistently. Okay, James mentions two kinds of wisdom, and you can compare and contrast them. What a contrast. Let's begin with the bad kind of wisdom. Verse 15 tells us the source of this bad kind of wisdom. Look at it. He says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. The bad kind of wisdom is wisdom that comes from below. It does not come from above. It's below. James says that this kind of wisdom is earthly. It's worldly wisdom. It's wisdom that has been invented by the worldly system in which we live. And by the way, that worldly system in which we live is hostile towards God, God's truth, His plan, His program. It's hostile towards God's people. This bad kind of wisdom has as its source the world. The world is both the source of this kind of wisdom and the boundary of this kind of wisdom. There's no room in this kind of wisdom for anything beyond this world. It's all here. It's worldly. It's earthly. Now, James is not down on the type of information that you and I need to know in order to live in this world or to make a living in this world. He's not down on reading, writing, and arithmetic. Sorry, kids. He's not down on science or engineering or economics or literature or architecture. He's not down on anything that you might go to a university to in order to get a degree, in order to earn a living. By the way, I think as Christians, we should be the greatest students on the planet. And we should be the best at our careers. He's speaking about worldly philosophy, the worldly belief system, the worldly explanation for how we got here, the worldly explanation for what's wrong with the human race, the worldly definition of morality, the worldly definition of success, all of that worldly belief that belief system that does not include God. The wisdom comes from the world. He also says that this bad kind of wisdom is sensual. Sensual. It's a word that speaks of the natural senses of the human race. In fact, this is a word that is oftentimes translated as natural in the Bible. It speaks of the natural, unspiritual state of man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul uses that word. He says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him." So this bad kind of wisdom comes from natural, unspiritual man. It comes from the mind of depraved, fallen humanity and is hopelessly flawed. And then he takes it even further. He says this bad kind of wisdom is what at the end of verse 15? It's demonic. It's from the devil. It's a wisdom that has been authored by Satan, and it's radically evil. Remember that Jesus called Satan the father of lies, and he has sown so many lies into this society, posing as wisdom. Now, I want you to think about that. Think about what James is saying here. There's a wisdom out there. There's a message out there being communicated constantly in our society that has its source as the world, the flesh, and the devil. By the way, the New Testament teaches that the Christian has three enemies. Who are our enemies? The devil, the worldly system, and the flesh, natural humanity. So it just makes sense that the devil, the world, and the flesh would have its own version of wisdom. Buy into this wisdom, it says. Now, what does that kind of wisdom look like? What does that kind of wisdom produce? The person who's bought into that kind of wisdom, how do they live? Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. That kind of wisdom produces what James says here, bitter envy in people's lives. It creates bitterly envious people. Bitter. Something that's bitter has a strong, pungent odor to it. Stinks, it smells, it's rotten. Envy is the Greek word zelos, which is translated in the New Testament as zeal or jealousy or envy as it's translated here. It speaks of people who are bitterly jealous. It speaks of those that have this very harsh zeal to their lives. It's speaking of the person who is absolutely obsessed with getting positions of wealth, power, and influence. It speaks of somebody who absolutely cannot stand to see other people in places of wealth, power, or influence. Bitterly jealous, hate the people that have the position that they think that they should have. Driven almost, the word means a person that's driven almost into an inner frenzy over the thought that somebody else could be doing better than them. Very ugly characteristic. The story is told of two men who lived in a certain city. One was envious and the other was covetous. The ruler of the city sent for them and said he wanted to grant them one wish each, with this provision, that the one who chose first would get exactly what he asked for, while the other man would get exactly twice what the first had asked for himself. The envious man was ordered to choose first, but he immediately found himself in a quandary. He wanted to choose something great for himself, but he realized that if he did so, the other would get twice as much. So he thought, and he thought, and he finally came up with his wish. You know what his wish was? To have one of his eyes put out. That's sick. That's a person who is bitterly jealous, envious. The world's kind of wisdom produces that in people. James says it also produces, in verse 14, self-seeking. People who are selfishly ambitious, self-promoting, self-centeredness, self-interest. Aristotle used this word to speak of partisan political power plays. He used this word to speak of the politician who will do anything to get elected, the politician who will canvass the public and try to rally people around him or her and say anything or do anything to get elected, not with the goal of helping people out, but only to promote self. Another ugly word is used in verse 14, boasting. This bad kind of wisdom produces very arrogant people, people who run around and boast. They look at me, look what I got, look what I've done, look who I am. That's what you see produced by this bad kind of wisdom. Extreme jealousy, self-centeredness, boasting, and on and on and on. And my friend, I want you to think about the type of wisdom that this world puts forth, what the bad wisdom looks like. The bad wisdom says there is no God, there is no life after this life. You're not accountable to God. You only got this place right here, so eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. The bad kind of wisdom says there's no God. You're God. You're the center of the universe. Life is all about making yourself happy and comfortable at all costs. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Get out there and fight and take no prisoners. Look out for number one. That is the message that is being shaped by entertainment media. That is the message that is being communicated in a lot of self-help books, at a lot of success seminars. And listen, that message fits us like a glove. Because in our unnatural, sinful state, we are self-centered, arrogant people at the very core of our beings. And so we run with it. And this kind of wisdom creates monsters. Monsters. Look where it also leads. Look at verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. It leads to confusion. It leads to instability, disorder, chaos. One author said, "This is what produces instability, chaos, and restlessness in every human relationship, among the nations." As I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think about the story of the Tower of Babel. Remember that story back in Genesis chapter 11? Right after the flood, everyone's gathered in Babel, and God says, "I want you to go out and scatter and repopulate the earth." And what did the people say there? They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Let's build. Let's make a great name for ourselves. And what did that story end in? Mass confusion. God said, "All right," and he changed their languages. Gang, that's where that stuff leads. And all you have to do is look all over our society and all over this world, and you will see the wisdom of this world on display. Instability, chaos, craziness. James says that this kind of wisdom also produces every evil thing. Now, he could go through a long list. He could get real detailed and list out all of these sins: greed, theft, murder, adultery, slander, on and on and on. But he doesn't have enough space. So he simply says, where this kind of wisdom is elevated, you've got every evil thing. Every evil thing paraded on display. It's a terrible kind of wisdom, isn't it? I would ask you to search your heart. Are you part of all that? Does your life fit in that part? Have you bought into that kind of wisdom? Let's get to the good kind of wisdom. Amen? What a contrast. Where does the good kind of wisdom come from? Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from where? Above. My friends, there is a good wisdom. And it comes from above. It's not from below, it's from above. It's not from the worldly system in which we live, it's from above. It doesn't come from the mind of depraved, fallen humanity, it comes from above. It doesn't come from the pits of hell, it comes from above. There's a wisdom that comes from heaven. There's a wisdom that comes from God. From God. By the way, the Bible teaches that the first step to becoming wise is to fear the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments." First step to becoming wise is acknowledging there is a God, and you are accountable to him. And there is a much longer life after this life. And you fear the living God who made you. First step towards this kind of wisdom. And God has revealed his wisdom. He's revealed his wisdom in his creation, and he's also revealed his wisdom very specifically in his book. I want you to think about it here. Heavenly wisdom from above, right here. The Holy Scripture. Bible says that if you have a relationship with God, you can ask for wisdom, and he'll give it to you. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So there is this wisdom that's available. A good kind of wisdom. And what does that wisdom look like? What does that kind of wisdom produce? What do people with that kind of wisdom look like? Look at all those characteristics in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first of all what? Pure. Undefiled. Innocent. Blameless. People with this kind of wisdom have become pure. Innocent, blameless, undefiled. Because people who have subscribed to God's wisdom have come to the point where they recognize that they need Jesus in their heart. That they're sinners, that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose again. And they receive him and they become pure. And Christians then begin to learn morality as God defines it in his word. Think about it. Pure people. A morally pure people, according to the moral standards of God. Peaceable. It's peaceable. Creates peace. When you become a Christian and when you have God's wisdom, you experience this supernatural peace in your life. It's this deep sense of well-being. And this word also means to become peace-loving. Peace-loving. You begin to promote peace. You begin to desire peace. You become a peacemaker. You're not out there, you know, fighting everybody for your little kingdom. You're peaceful. In other words, you're not a troublemaker. Have you ever met a troublemaker? Everywhere they go, trouble. I mean, trouble follows them. Everywhere they go, they leave a wake of tears, broken friendships, mad people. A person like that does not have the wisdom of God. Peaceful. People. I love what it says next. The wisdom that is from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, then what? Gentle. People with this good kind of wisdom are gentle. There's lots of different ways to translate this word. Courteous. Courteous. Considerate. Kindly. One author translates this as a person who has this sweet reasonableness to them. It's beautiful. It's not abrasive, not intimidating. This word is very closely related to what James uses in verse 13, meekness. This wisdom creates meek people. Now, please, don't misunderstand meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Gentleness is not weakness. In fact, the classic definition for meekness is the idea of having great power that's under control. This speaks of a man or woman who is very strong, tough. Capable of a lot of power, but uses that power gently. That's meekness. That's gentleness. You know, I was thinking several years ago now, way back, 18 years ago, we had a brother at our fellowship, and he was a retired Navy SEAL. guy who had spent a lot of his years teaching hand-to-hand combat to Navy SEALs. And he looked just like Steven Seagal. I kid you not. Tall, with the hair and the ponytail. And this guy was powerful. In fact, he taught a defense class to our church. And he began his class by saying, "What's the most powerful muscles for hand-to-hand combat?" He says, "Don't worry about biceps or tris or anything like that. Don't worry about the bodybuilders. They go down like a sack of potatoes." He said, "The most important muscles are your wrists and your fingers." And then he began to describe all of the really ugly things he could do with his fingers. And it creeped me out. Just, you know, hand-to-hand, close up, what you can do. So every time I saw him, I knew, man, this guy's powerful. At that time, my daughter was just born, Lindsay. She's this little infant. We brought her to church the first time. And who did we see there? This guy. He goes, "Oh, bring the little baby. Bring the baby." Oh. And I put my little baby girl in his fingers. And he held her. That's meekness. Great power. Under control. And that's the type of wisdom. That type of wisdom creates people like that. Not these abrasive, "My way or the highway." Says that this wisdom that's from above is also willing to yield. This speaks of a person who's persuadable. This literally speaks of a person who's not afraid to admit that they're wrong. Somebody who's open to reason. You know, there's those people that you meet and they're the know-it-alls. And they're the teachers. Those who have true wisdom, they have a lot of information and they know how to share it, but they also know how to listen. And they can be persuadable. On one occasion, Abraham Lincoln, to please a certain politician, issued a command to transfer certain regiments. When Secretary of War Edwin Stanton received the order, he refused to carry it out, saying that the president was a fool. When Lincoln was told of this, he replied, "If Stanton said I'm a fool, then I must be. For he's nearly always right. I'll see for myself." As the two men talked, the president quickly realized that his decision was a serious mistake, and without hesitation, he withdrew it. That's wisdom. Says that this kind of wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Creates merciful people. Remember, mercy is compassion in action. And James has spoken about that, our need to minister to the orphan and the widow. It says it full of good works, full of good fruits, as it's put here. It produces lives that just are filled with good works. This wisdom from above is without partiality. Those who have it don't show favoritism. They're not prejudiced. They're not racist. They don't treat people differently based on how they look. And at the end there, it says that wisdom that comes from above is without hypocrisy. It's real. It's sincere. It's not the Christian that plays pretend, that wears a mask. And where does it lead? Verse 18, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." That bad kind of wisdom produces chaos, instability. This good kind of wisdom produces a society that's peaceful. That bad kind of wisdom produces, you know, every evil thing that you could imagine. This good type of wisdom produces every righteous thing that you can imagine. Do you see the options? They're so clear. There's this wisdom that has its source as the devil, the world, the flesh. It creates bitter envy, selfish ambition, and it leads to confusion and every evil thing. Then there's this other type of wisdom that comes from God. It creates people who are pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good works, impartial, sincere, and it leads to peace and righteousness. Which one do you want? Where are you at? Which wisdom have you bought into? And does it show? Does it show? Christian, we should all be exhibiting that good kind of wisdom. That's all of our responsibility. Let's not be a part of the garbage. Now, I want you to know this morning that you can't do that in your own strength. But you don't have to do it in your own strength. Because the Bible says that as Christians, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The key is not to leave here this morning and go out and say, I'm going to be more pure. I'm going to be more open. You don't want to do this in your own strength. What you really want to do is you want to leave this and you say, you know, I need to be closer to Jesus. Because when I'm closer to Jesus and when I'm spending time with Jesus, Jesus lives through me. The power of the Holy Spirit lives in and through me. As you walk closely with Jesus Christ, you'll become this. And oh, how beautiful that kind of life is. Oh, how beautiful. It is utterly impossible to live this type of life with the good wisdom as a natural man. You have to become a born again man. You know, there may be some here and you look at this and you evaluate your life and you say, you know, I'm more on that chaotic side. And I'd really like to change. If you really want to change, you need to become a child of God first. And that comes by placing your faith in Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again. I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. Lord, we look at a passage like this and we all recognize that we could do better. We could all do better. And I pray, Lord, that as your people, we would simply stay close to you day by day, dependent upon you day by day, aware of our need for you to live your life through us. And help us to do that, Lord. Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're here and you think, yep, I need to get out of that garbage life, the rat race. I need to have my life stop being about all that. I would invite you right now to give your life to Jesus Christ. Let him come into your life. Give him the reins. See what he can't do in your life. He'll do miracles in your life. The Lord Jesus died for you, and he rose again. He is alive, and he's here right amongst us to save. I'd like to lead you in a prayer if you've never done that. Pray this prayer with me in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I'm giving the reins of my life to you. Please take over. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me your wisdom. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising again. Come into my life. Save me. And use me, Lord, in the lives of others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.